Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. You know, I was thinking today about people making excuses. What a wonderful thing to be able to make excuses. You know, when you're an adolescent, where are you going? Well, Johnny needs me. And as adolescents, children learn to escape their parents by making up things. MSU, they used to call it, make stuff up. That's the school many people go to, people who create excuses all the time. It's called make stuff up. Among the professionals that I hang out with, we very often hear of people making excuses. We don't even say they made an excuse. We say the dog ate the homework. Now, the dog ate the homework. So a person says, I wanted to keep my commitment to do so-and-so, but I got on the train, and the train was late, and there the conductor was yelling, and it basically gets down to, you didn't do what you said you were going to do, and the dog ate the homework. For those of you who don't know that reference, when I was a kid, it was an excuse that people actually used. The dog ate the homework. Nowadays, the dog would have to eat a computer. Right? So I guess the dog can't eat the homework anymore. But the dog eats the homework is kind of an image of making excuses. Now, making excuses. Benjamin Franklin said, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good at anything else. I'm not really sure because, you know, a good excuse maker can easily become the president or a politician. We could hear them making excuses all the time. Hey, why did you vote for the Iraq War? Well, at the time, you know, I had my left arm was hurting. Any kind of excuse. Most of us are guilty of having done something we shouldn't have or not doing something we wish we had done. You know, when we're questioned about it, do we tend to accept responsibility and admit that we're at fault if it was a misdeed? If you did something wrong, what's the likelihood you're going to say, oh, I did it, my mistake, my bad. I like that expression. My bad. Or do we tend to hide the mistake? Well, people generally hide their mistakes, and people generally make excuses. Making excuses for mistake is not new. In fact, we can trace this habit all the way back to the Garden of Eden. For when God supposedly asked Adam if he had eaten of the tree, he was commanded not to, right? Adam said, gave the world's first excuse, Adam. Maybe the first thing that Adam ever said was an excuse. He said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. That was in Genesis. Right? He blamed Eve. It's her fault. So when God asked Eve what she had done, she gave the world's second excuse. She said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. That's Genesis also. So there we have it. The devil made me do it, you know? Right there. It starts back then. Why'd you do it? The devil, the demon, my... Got an excuse. Excuses negate responsibility. You know, now, responsibility is a funny word. We've been told often enough that we have to take responsibility for our lives. But, you know, you see, you get to hate the word responsibility. Responsibility means everything bad. You're obligated. You got to work hard. But to take responsibility means ownership of whatever your behaviors are, the way we're talking about it today. It is responsibility that sets us apart from other animals. See, unlike animals, we're not only responsible for whatever we have, because every animal is responsible for what they have. They go out, they chase something, they kill it, they bring it home, they eat it. They're responsible for what they have. So are we. We go out, we earn something, we bring it home, we put it in our house, we're responsible for it. But we are different than the animals because we're responsible for what we could have instead as well as what we have. So if you bring home a hamburger and instead you could have brought home a salad, you see, you have the responsibility of that hamburger. Because if that hamburger is not what you want to be eating and you want to be eating a salad, you have both thoughts on your mind. There's a responsibility, right? And then, of course, what do? An excuse. I can't find a good salad, right? And I'm in a hurry. And I needed something substantial. Now the excuses come in. Okay, I don't blame you. We're also, not only are we responsible for what we have, we're also responsible for what we could have become. For what we could become. The kind of person we are is one thing, and then the kind of person we want to be is another responsibility of ours. It's in our hands. I want to be a kinder person. But I'm hanging out with Hell's Angel Motorcycle Gang. Okay, there's something in the middle there. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. That represents violence. You're in the middle of violence. What are you doing there? What do you want to be? I want to be giving to this planet, but I've chosen to become a lawyer. You know, hang on there a minute, friends. I want to be a helpful doctor, but all I do is prescribe pills. You know, I know somebody who went to an emergency room, went to a hospital the other day in the emergency room. She spent 2 hours in the emergency room, and the entire thing, the one thing was noticed, and she had damage to her back. She never got touched by the physician. He only asked questions and then prescribed. Never touched. Imagine, what have you become? Okay, now we like to take credit for success, right? If you succeed at something, you say, if you win the lottery, I knew that I should buy that ticket. Take credit for it, but so it would make sense that we would take credit for our failures, but we don't. Nope. We hide our failures with excuses. It's like trying to hide a dirty floor with a carpet. You know, it almost works, but it doesn't work. Excuses can be harmful because they may prevent you from succeeding. They don't always prevent you from succeeding, but they could. When you make excuses and you repeat them often enough, they become a belief. This belief then becomes a real self-fulfilling prophecy. Let me give you an example. A sales rep, somebody who sells something, is discouraged by his poor sales. And so he starts to blame the price of his product. No one wants to buy it because it's too expensive, he says. And after repeatedly making this excuse, the reason he couldn't sell whatever he wanted to sell was because it's too expensive, he begins to believe it's true that it's too expensive. Too expensive. Little does he know that it's his personality that's stopping the sale. He doesn't get a chance to look at it. Instead, he blames the product. Dismal sales. Now, compare that with a different kind of sales rep. After hearing many people complain about the high price, he turns around and he might say, you know, it's my fault they're complaining, for I didn't give them the cost of my product by adequately pointing out its value. I know a physician, I know a doctor who charges a high price for his consultation, but included in his consultation is he has people doing lab tests, he does a lot of information, he gathers a lot of stuff, so he charges a high price, but believe it or not, there's not that big a profit margin on it. So he'll charge $400 for people to come in. And they'll say, what an outrageous price. But they don't never see. They never see all the tests that he does, the examination he does, the research he does. So it's not, since it's not included, everybody thinks he's overcharging. And he's not. So it's his responsibility to make known to the patient what they are paying for. What are you paying for? When people call up, if you have a business and people call up and say how much, it is your responsibility to tell them what they're getting for that much. And what you're getting is this and this and this follow-up, and here's the plan. Okay. So the man who's a salesman who accepts responsibility says, you know, it must be me. Now, don't make another excuse like, I'm not tall enough, or I don't have the right clothing. No, that's not it. That's not going to work. It must be me, the way I'm presenting the material. It must be my attitude. I haven't justified the cost of my product by adequately pointing out its value. By not blaming, we can evaluate our actions, and we can take corrective measures to find solutions to whatever the problems are. Excuses are like stop signs. They halt our progress. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, talking about eating the homework, dogs eating the homework, talking about making excuses. Because you can refuse to make excuses. If you refuse to make excuses, you get many benefits. The successes brought on by this Attitude Act as a foundation of self-respect, pride, confidence. Taking responsibility breeds competence and power. Now, on the other hand, a study was done in California where they took a group of people and they asked people who were fired for stealing something from the company. And they took that group of people and somehow they gave them a second chance and they rehired them. And then they found out that 6 months beyond that, they asked the people, did you take the materials? And the ones that admitted they took the materials were perceived worse by their bosses than the ones who denied it right up through all the time, even though they were convicted of having stolen the materials. So the problem is taking responsibility very often makes people doubt you. If you say, yes, I stole this $10, yes, I overcharged you, I'm sorry. If you say that to someone, they'll doubt you in the future. But you don't say it for them, you say it for you. You don't want to overcharge. You take responsibility, and it builds your integrity. It makes you feel better about yourself. Once we've seen as trustworthy, people are willingly work with us for our mutual gain. And you'll see that if you make mistakes, they don't criticize you. I worked with someone for many years. And for many years, this person worked with me, and she would make mistakes. And perhaps when she would make mistakes at the beginning, I would show my disappointment and disapproval with some of the mistakes. And I would be critical at the beginning. Many years later, I could feel the difference. Whenever she made a mistake, it didn't matter. It was only a mistake. And she would apologize profusely, and I said, no, I don't care. It's only a mistake. It's you that matters. And that changed our relationship completely. So being able to allow mistakes, allow yourself to make mistakes, and allow other people to make mistakes is quite a great thing. Okay, here's a way to stop making excuses and start building your life. How would you like some rules? Number one, realize that your success or failure depends on you. It depends on the choices you make. It depends on your attitude. So take responsibility for it today. Today. Don't find an excuse. If you do it wrong, say, oops, I did it wrong. If last night you went out and you were lonely and you met a guy and you took him home and he slept over and he left you in the morning, okay, allow for that. Yeah, it wasn't a wise choice. It's what I wanted to do last night. But not an excuse. not because I was lonely, because I was sad, because I was this, because I was that. It's what I did. Find a way. Don't make excuses. Make good. Remember what Winston Churchill said? He said, responsibility is the true price of greatness. So if you think of that, I own it. It's me. It's my being, my doing. Beware of rationalization. Now, rationalization, we make excuses to hide behaviors that we're ashamed of. Rationalization is the process of trying to hide shameful conduct from ourselves. We make up excuses, right? Oh, yeah, I had to. I couldn't control it. It was not my fault. And you believe it. You can fight rationalization by looking for cues. If someone challenges your conduct and you would become angry, it possibly suggests that you're guilty as charged, because otherwise why would you get angry? So if you see yourself getting angry, right, hold yourself back. Say, oops, I'm being touched here. Because why would you get angry if you're innocent? So if someone challenges you on something you do and you respond with anger, do not let that anger just be the response. Let it be a question to yourself. What am I denying? From time to time, stop and examine your progress. Compare where you are now and where you'd like to be. Ask yourself, why is there a gap between these two points? Why am I here when I want to be there? One of the most important questions that most adults ask young people is the following, and I'll ask you this question. Where would you like to be 5 years from now? Now, where would you like to be 5 years from now? What would you like to be doing? How would you like to be doing it? Think about it. And is what you're doing today part of that plan? Or is it not? If what you're doing today has nothing to do with what you want to be doing in the future, you know, and you know what you want to be doing in the future, it's worthy of examination. Don't make excuses. I can't afford to go to school because I don't have the time. I can't afford to play my music. I can't afford to travel because I've got to earn the dollars. Watch out for the excuses. When you make a mistake, here's step three, accept responsibility. Learn from it and don't repeat it. Use the time for discovering solution instead of inventing excuses. So, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Those words are precious. That was my mistake. You know, if you think about somebody looking at you and saying, that was my mistake, I apologize. It's amazing. It's amazing. So here's something I once heard about planting your garden of success. You ready? First thing you do, you're going to plant a garden, and this is the non-excuse garden. You plant three rows of peas. Things that start with P. Patience, positive thinking, persistence. If you're going to have a garden that's going to be a garden towards success, you need three rows of peas. You need the row of patience, the row of positive thinking, and the row of persistence. Next, plant three rows of squash. Squash excuses, squash blame, squash criticism. Then plant three rows of lettuce. Let us be responsible. Let us be trustworthy. Let us work together. And finish with three rows of turnips. Turn up when needed. Turn up with a smile, and turn up with confidence. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here at WBAI 99.5 FM. We are talking about taking responsibility and what it's like, you know, about accepting responsibility and not making excuses. No more excuses, please. You show up late for your therapist appointment. I made myself late. I might not have wanted to get here. You know, it's such an interesting thing. I mean, psychotherapy, you know, and we're trained in this. They teach us if the patient shows up late, it means they're afraid or it means they're angry. So what you do as a therapist when a patient shows up 20 minutes late for their appointment, you examine it. Well, some therapists say, why were you late? That's a stupid question because then the person's going to make up an excuse. Well, you see, I was traveling uptown on the bus and then I saw this dog. And then I saw this little girl and she dropped her homework and the dog started eating the homework and I tripped over the dog. And therefore I had to pick up the girl's homework and then I had to come here. And by the time I got here, I was 20 minutes late. So the therapist, you know, seeing, knowing, they say to themselves, I am doing something in this process of therapy that makes this person not feel safe enough to be here. The real therapist does not make an excuse. They take responsibility for the patient's being late, just as they ask the patient to take responsibility for them being late. The patient who takes responsibility for the client's being late says, the therapist who takes responsibility says, I must be scaring them. I must not make them feel safe. I must not be convincing them that this is important. I must not have the confidence for us to spend this time. You know what I mean? We can look at a number of different ways that people make excuses. You know, there is blame. Blame is probably, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's the devil made me do it. You know, blame some other person for whatever you're going through. Why are you angry? He made me angry. Why are you sad? They made me sad. That's one way of never really what they call owning a feeling. You never get to it. It's never you. You never find out who you are if you keep blaming other people. The other one is denial. You make believe you don't even see the existence of something. Another way of making an excuse is to just not even see a problem when it exists. A lot of people bring patients in to see us. They'll bring in their daughter, and the daughter will be our son. And the son will be a nervous wreck who is seeing hallucinations, active hallucinations of somebody with knives trying to stab him, and that's why he can't sleep. The mother will call me up and say, I'd like to bring my son in for a consultation. And I'll say, what are the signs? She'll say, oh, he's just a little nervous. And the kid comes in, and the kid is gone. I mean, his mind is gone, and it's been gone for years. But she was making up excuses for him. She didn't pay attention to it. Because he would say, oh, he's just playing with his imaginary friends. Denial. You see your child beating their head against a wall. Oh, it's just a phase they go through when they're teething. I heard somebody do that just recently. It's a teething phase. Denial. Passive aggressiveness is another form of making excuses. In fact, excuses are probably the realm of passive aggressiveness. The primary reason that people make excuses is because they do things that are a reflection of how angry they are. You see, if you're angry at somebody, then you screw up their plans. So if they have plans to go to the theater and you're supposed to meet them on the corner, you show up an hour late. And they sit there and they're so frustrated and they're seething and they're angry because they're missing the show. And then you show up and you make an excuse. And the excuse that passive-aggressive old people always make is they beat themselves up. So they show up and they say, oh, I'm so stupid. I just can't believe I did this to you. I ruined the time. I missed the time I made. And they don't make excuses, but they blame themselves. And they blame themselves so hard that you can't get angry at them. They flog themselves with whips and with spikes. And they beat themselves into a bloody pulp. So by the time you want to turn around to them and say, I'm mad at you, you can't because they're bleeding on the floor. Passive aggressiveness. Another. That was a nice journey. And another thing is rationalization. We talked about rationalization, making excuses. People like to make excuses for their parents. They talk about their damaged lives. My father, he used to beat me regularly whenever he got drunk. But he was under a lot of stress. And you know, he grew up in a family where he was the only child. And you make excuses for them. So you make excuses for your family so that you never get to a point where you actually feel the justifiable anger that you could feel for them not being there for you. So we talked about self-criticism just for a moment. That's another trick of turning it around, because by beating yourself up, you're not taking responsibility for life. You're doing the opposite. You're putting yourself down. And down means you're not on a level ground. The whole idea here is, my friend, is you see reality and you accept yourself as you are. Now, let's say something about attention deficit disorder. Right? How does that relate, do you think, to taking responsibility or not taking responsibility? Because when your mind can't pay attention to one thing, it scatters, and it goes from place to place to place to place. So if you're not making excuses, but if you recognize that you have this thing that your mind can't sit still, you acknowledge that your mind can't sit still, and you don't blame the fact that the music outside was bothering you, and you can't blame the fact that, you know, it smelled smoky in here, and the lights are too bright, and all the other complaints that people make. It's your mind that's wandering. Jealousy, another form of blame. Jealousy, you know? If you admit that you feel inadequate, that you don't really feel like you're in your best shape, that you don't feel really you're up to your game. You know, if you put on some weight, but you're jealous of the thin woman who's near your mate. You know, you kind of accept it. You kind of say, no, this is me about me. It's not about that person and what they're doing. So blame, denial, passive-aggressive, rationalization, justification, self-criticism, all these incredible ways that we make excuses. And making excuses is this one thing, my friends. You make excuses, right? You're just going to wind up staying in the same place and perpetuating your life. If, on the other hand, you want to be one of those brave souls who says, it is me, it is my doing, it is my fault for having done that. I am responsible. I care that I'm responsible. I apologize for what I've done. I would like to not do that again in the future. But there's no excuse. It was my doing. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. I think I'll play you some new music today. Yes, I will play you some new music today. Some Blue October that was brought to me. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back from our short break, we want your phone numbers, at your phone calls at 212-209-2900. That was my mistake. 212-209-2900. Just give us a call, and we'll take your calls in about, 5 minutes or so. Right now, a short break, and we'll be back with you soon.
Up and down, I spin colliding into sound, like whales beneath me diving down. I'm sinking to the bottom of my everything that freaks me out. The lighthouse gleam has just run out. I'm cold as cold as cold can be. I wanna swim away.
And that's the remarkable new Blue October. Blue October is the singer. Foiled is the name of the album. In the Ocean. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind WBAI. If you just tuned in after hearing some wonderful music and you said, what is this station that we're listening to playing such Blue October good music? Well, it's the Positive Mind. The Positive Mind, which is every Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here at WBAI at 1 o'clock, bringing you ideas, concepts, things to think about, you know? And today we're talking about making excuses. So the kind of guy that I want to be is a guy who doesn't make excuses. You know, I don't want to make excuses. I make excuses, but I don't want to make excuses. Sometimes I don't want to hurt people's feelings, so I make excuses. Sometimes, you know, I get a lot of things that I don't, people would love me to respond to, and I try to make excuses because people want to be let down gently, and I think that's part of my responsibility to let people down gently. But I try not to. I try to say what's real. And if you say it kind of like, well, I wasn't in the mood to answer any letters. Hey, I was just, you know, it's not an excuse. I didn't want to call you back. You know, I didn't want to. Just the truth. You know, I saw the phone ring and I just didn't want to answer it. I had one friend who calls and he happens to be wrong. He's a very verbal guy. And he gets on the phone, and when he calls and I see him calling, I know this phone call cannot be brief. So I kind of ignore the call. And then he leaves messages that are much too long. So I had to get him on the phone day before yesterday and say to him, listen, if you're going to leave a message on my cell phone, please no more than 1 minute. Please 2 minutes at the most. Please, please, please. And if I look at you and I'm going to call, I'm telling you I'm good on a telephone call for maybe 3 minute conversation, but any more than that, I'm not here to schmooze. You know, I don't like doing that. Other people may, but I don't. And I was so afraid I was going to offend my friend. He said, I understand. He said, a lot of people feel like that with me because I tend to overtalk. And, you know, I loved him more. 212-209-2900 is our number. Let's take another call. Let's take the first call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. That'll take one. That was a tricky one. I snuck it up on Michael. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. It's Jim from Long Island.
Hello, Jim.
What's going on?
Good.
Hey, so talk about the excuses and things like that. The thing, you know, it seems like that's the one thing that's kind of haunted me my whole life. I always feel like I've made excuses, and that's why I've never had the success that I feel like I've kind of been destined to have.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it seems like the older I get, and even though, you know, I feel like I've really progressed in my life, and, you know, I've gone through therapy and you know, gotten a lot better, but I just feel like I still, and I'm almost like I'm putting up bigger hurdles over time, and I just, you know, I feel like, I don't know, it seems like the hurdles get bigger when, you know, with my children and my job, it just seems it gets harder and harder to change over time, and, you know, the older you get, the more like in cement I get sometimes, it feels.
When you make excuses, do you make excuses putting yourself down? Is that the way you make excuses? How do you make excuses?
No, it's not putting myself down. It's not that it's an inability. I just think it's more of, I guess maybe it's more of a fear thing, like the what-if factor, you know, financially and things like that. And
what did you want to reach for, Jim, that you never reached for?
Well, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but right now, I mean, I have some legitimate excuses. I mean, I have 4 kids and I live on Long Island and I have to work a lot just to survive. So I don't really have the free time to pursue that. I mean, it would be near impossible, but there are the things that I would like to
do.
Well,
you see, now there we go.
Okay.
There we go. Now here, let's start with this one, okay? The excuse is, now excuse is not necessarily bad. Excuse, I excuse myself, you know. I excuse myself by telling myself I gave too much responsibility. I got the kids, I got the house, I got the farm, I got all this other stuff, I got to keep going. And it's really a different story than that. What the truth of it is I would like to be a stand-up comedian, but I would rather be a good father. I would rather take care of these things that I've bought for myself, and I would rather, I am choosing to be with my wife and not, and put this on a back burner until the time that I could get things clear. Now, here's my plan. My plan is that when I save $20,000 in the bank, and I have that as a backup, I am going to work a little less hard, and I'm going to pursue that goal. See, Jim, now, if you see yourself as now making a choice, as a power choice, not as a default, it's not because you got pregnant, I can't have my life. I mean, you know, so many kids grow up with that feeling that they destroyed their parents' lives. If it's not for that, it's your choice. It's a choice of power. You choose to stay home. You choose to do what you have to do. That's your choice now.
And I do choose that. And
yeah, of course you do.
And, you know, I really don't want my kids to ever have that feeling that they were somehow a crutch on me. I never would want that for them.
So you haven't told them, if it weren't for you, I'd be a famous stand-up comedian.
God, no, never. Never.
Well, you know how many parents do that?
But you know what?
You know how many women mothers tell their children about their dreams that they could have had if they hadn't gotten pregnant? And they make the kids feel terrible about their lives, that they've destroyed their mother's lives? And men do it, of course, too. You know, if it weren't for this, I'd be out sailing the seven seas.
I think if I ever became a famous comedian, it would probably be because of them.
Yeah, right. So anyway, Jim, how about a plan? Now, here's where it gets interesting, you know, a real plan. Sit down, you sit down with your wife, you say, okay, let's try to plan this out. Here's what I want to do. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it before I die, right? And I'm going to get this in progress somehow. And here's the steps as I see it. If I'm going to do stand-up comedy, I may take classes in stand-up comedy. I may go to comedy clubs, but I'm going to do it starting at this time. Here's the plan. I'm going to put it off, and then I'm going to work it from there. Now, that's the way that we do it, and you feel empowered the whole way.
Well, actually, I did get an application to go back to school for the first time in 12 years the other day, and financial aid.
God, congratulations.
Well, I think
that's pretty big stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty big stuff.
Used to be, it seemed kind of unattainable before, but now that things seem a little clearer, it seems more of a reality.
Absolutely. I mean, some things are unattainable, but there's so much fun going for it anyway, you know?
That's a different perspective.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just think of Green Bay. I'm only kidding.
I'm trying not to think of Green Bay anymore.
All right. I will speak to you again, Jim. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for the garden success, too. That was great.
That was great, huh?
Thanks.
Garden success, if you hadn't heard it, I'm going to tell you what that is. In your garden, you want to plant 3 rows of peas. And the things that start with P are patience, positive-mindedness, and persistence. Very important 3 things. Persistence, I'll stick with it. Positive-mindedness, I'll look on the good side of it, but I won't deny the bad side of it. And patience, it's going to take time. Then you plant 3 rows of squash, right? Where you squash excuses, you squash blame, and you squash criticism. You eliminate those 3 things out of your life, right? Just work them into the soil. They become fodder. F-O-D-D-R, rather than fathers. And then you plant 3 rows of lettuce. And that's let us be responsible. Let us be trustworthy. And let us work together. And you finally put in 3 rows of turnips. Turn up when you're needed. Turn up with a smile. And turn up with confidence. Armand DeMille making salads. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. We're talking about making excuses. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Ernesto Diaz.
Hello, Ernesto.
And I love your program. The reason I'm calling is because I'd like to know how you... I'd like to get a copy of your program, if that's possible. And
well, sure, it's possible. You could go to WBAI.org, which is the website of WBAI, and then you go to The Positive Mind, where you'll find me, and then you go to Archives, and they should have the program up. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to go to thepositivemind.com, which is the website, my own website, thepositivemind.com. Go down to, scroll down to where it says radio shows, and look at the archives. Within 2 days, you'll be able to get the program, and you'll be able to download it to your iPod or make a recording, whatever you want to do.
Now, what I'd like to get more information on is because I've socialized with a bunch of psychologists, and actually there is this one psychologist in particular that's a monk, and he has developed this program. So I'd like to know if about some sort of procedure or process so that I can try to practice to try to get into the habit of not making excuses for everything, because I found that I can become very good at it and feel great, and then all of a sudden one day it just comes out of nowhere because of life's experiences. You know, you learn to live a certain way, and then all of a sudden this pops out of nowhere.
Well, I'm going to use a good example for you. Here's a good one for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're very familiar with erasers.
Yes.
Right? And you are familiar with erasers because you use an eraser every day. And since you do, I want you to be able to understand that anything you write, anything you do, is written in pencil. And anything that you do can be erased. Mm. So if you make a mistake, by taking responsibility for it, you erase it. Mm. You see? And it leaves a little bit of a dent on the paper.
That's
but
a simple
you erase
idea,
it.
Yes.
So I want you to think of the pencil eraser metaphor. When's the last time you held a pencil?
Today.
Today, right? Like, how long ago?
A while ago. Maybe about an hour ago.
Good. Not everybody handles pencils, but I could tell you're the kind of guy who does. So I want to thank you for calling in. And I wanted to remind you that, you know, even when you make the mistakes, you can undo the mistakes. Remember the erasers on your pencils.
That's a simple idea to keep in mind. Thank you very much. Have
a
great day.
Thank you. You can always tell a pencil kind of guy. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Andrew Dohm. I think I met with you before.
Hello, Andrew.
And I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
I am not an excuse maker. I try not to be. But when serious things happen, I tend to rationalize it, and I'm very good at that. And I find it's, a defense mechanism to make everything seem okay so I don't get depressed or don't feel a certain way, to make it okay in my head.
But yeah, that is pretty tough. It is pretty tough because you're protecting yourself from depression.
Yeah.
You know? In other words, you say there's a little pit that sits underneath me, and it's like a lava pit, and if I allow myself to fall into it, I'm just going to get swallowed up by it, so I got to keep my head above water.
Yeah. Yeah. With other people, though, I tend to be very critical, and I guess I expect the same thing from other people, and when I see them making excuses, it's almost a form of resentment, I guess. And I don't know, I become very critical, and it's a quality about myself that I've been trying to change for a while.
So you find yourself critical of other people who make excuses, and you don't see the child. I understand. I do understand. You see, when somebody makes excuses to me, I see a wounded child. I see a child who doesn't feel safe. When somebody is pointing at somebody else, when you see a kid and kids make excuses to their parents, when they have to make excuses to their parents, it means they don't feel safe telling the truth to their parents. So when someone makes excuses around me, I feel like I must be too judgmental. I must be something about me that is judging them so strong that they're afraid to tell me the truth. So then the question becomes, how do I take responsibility for my own provoking this excuse-making in the people around me? So you, being the kind of brave soul that you are, who likes to confront himself, then has to take a look at your perfectionistic attitude, which includes some kind of judgmentalism that makes people not feel safe enough to tell you the absolute truth. And that's the part you correct, instead of correcting them.
Look at myself.
You take yourself and you say, yeah, I didn't make them feel safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely understand. My girlfriend was in an accident this morning, and she decided not to go to class because she was frazzled, but she's telling me she feels fine and everything's okay. And I'm like, why don't you go to class? Why are you going to go home and try and fix everything? I think you should distract yourself and you shouldn't deal with it. And she's, I don't know, I just become very critical, and it's a quality about me I really don't like, but it's something that I guess...
Well, let me ask you something. How did you feel when she got in the accident?
I felt like I got into an accident, I guess.
You got scared, huh?
Yeah.
Did you feel scared? Did you get worried about her?
Very much so, yeah.
You know, like you wish you could have held her at that moment?
Yeah.
What kind of an accident did she get in?
It was luckily just a fender bender, and her car's fine, she's fine, everything's okay. It could have been a lot worse. It was
her
first accident.
Well, fender benders are scary. It's a scary moment. You know, those machines are very potent machines traveling out there on the road, and here this woman you love was in a machine, and then something happened, and she almost got hurt. And you wish you could have protected her. And you got scared. And so when you got scared, you blamed her. Well, why didn't you swerve to the left? Or why don't you go to work and forget about it? You see, so that part of you comes out to protect yourself from feeling the vulnerability that you felt when you heard that she got hurt. Imagine what you could have done, which was saying, I'm really scared. I got really scared when you said that. I'm so glad you're okay. You know?
Yeah.
But that's the next level of it. When we come from parents who tend to criticize us, we tend to respond to people's damages, hurts, with advice. You know, we want to give them advice. We want to tell them what to do. There's an expression that people use all the time, and it's just the stupidest expression. A kid is running, and a kid trips. And the parent says, did you hurt yourself? Now, you know, that's a horrible thing to say to a kid. The kid just tripped. They fell down. They're crying. Did you hurt yourself? It's like an accusation. You're not saying, oh, you hurt. You're not going over and kicking the thing they tripped on and saying, bad piece of wood, which is what they really want you to do. You're saying, did you hurt yourself? Did you hurt yourself? I wish we could eliminate that little expression in our vocabulary. So yes, my friend, you're a voyager. You're brave. You just keep going. You're going to become kinder and kinder and kinder. I'm sure.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. In 5 years.
5 years is a good time.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Andrew.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
This is Armand DeMille with A Positive Mind. Hey, they're all men today, huh? Let's take one more quick call. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand. How you doing?
Yes, we got a record. 5 guys. Hi there. What's your name?
My name is Jay.
Jace?
Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, earlier I think I heard you say something about if someone kind of accuses you of something and you get upset, that it's kind of an admission of guilt?
Yeah.
Okay, well, sometimes I deal with a situation whereas someone may accuse me of something and I may get upset on the fact that they're accusing me of something that totally isn't so.
Well, you know, let me give you a quick response to that, Jake. if you were, if you, you know, there are certain animals in the world, like a grizzly bear and a lion, they tell you when you're confronting the animal, don't look it in the eyes. Don't look in its eyes, because the minute you look in its eyes, it's going to think you're going to attack it. So it responds back. You try to avert your gaze. You don't want to stare at them. You don't want to take them on, because they'll see it as a confrontation. There are people, like you who grew up, and you grew up being at the end of punishment. You were punished for many, many things. Some you did and some you didn't do. And I could tell that, Jake. And so what happens is, when somebody looks at you badly, you feel like you got to protect yourself automatically. So even if you didn't do the stuff, you respond defensively. Because they're just looking at you that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're saying it to you. It just means you've been, you've had a rough time when you were younger. You're getting hurt.
So how do I deal with that situation, whereas if someone accuses me, I won't respond, whereas they automatically take my response as an admission of guilt?
Try this phrase. Let me think about it. Let me think about it. Let me think about what you're saying. Let me think about what you're saying. Just to give yourself some space. You need a little room. You know? You just need a little room so that you're not reacting immediately. Jake, I wish I had more time, but I do have to go. I'll try to continue this at another time and maybe go further into your question. I want to thank you for calling in. Hey, this is... Sure. It's Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. I will be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. And if you want to get more information, you could go to thepositivemind.com. www.thepositivemind.com. Bye-bye for now, my friends.